Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else while I try and wrangle this whole mental health into something I'm supposed to have. Now, today, I do want to take a look at some of the spoilers for Murders at Karlov Manor. And anybody who's familiar with how I do any kind of set reviews is that I do not do full set reviews. I don't have that kind of time. You don't have that kind of time. It's for everybody's benefit. So typically what I'll do is I'll break it into a couple of weeks. 1 week, I'll just kind of talk about some of the cards in the set that I think look interesting. And then typically the week after, I'll take a closer look at the potential commanders and legendary cards. So yeah, let's just jump into it. I am going to do this in Wooburg order and then look at some of the multicolor cards at the end. So starting with white, I do believe the ones that I really am looking forward to are the two angels that I've seen. The first one being Aurelia's Vindicator, which is 2 white-white for a 4/2 angel with flying, lifelink, and ward 2. It has disguise for X, 3, and a white. When Aurelia's Vindicator is turned face up, exile up to X other target creatures from the battlefield and or creature cards from graveyards. When the Vindicator leaves the battlefield, return the exiled cards to their owner's hands. So, the disguise ability. The way it works is you can play it face down for 3 like a morph. It becomes a 2/2 colorless creature. And then for its disguise cost, you can turn it face up. So in this case, the base cost is 4 to turn it from a 2/2 into a 4/2 with flying and lifelink. But then for each mana you put into that past that, you can exile a creature. And what I really like about the ability is when it leaves the battlefield, those cards don't go directly back into play. They go into their hands. And then the other angel that I saw that I really wanted to talk about is the Wojek Investigator. 2 and a white for a 2/4 angel detective with flying and vigilance. And at the beginning of your upkeep, investigate once for each opponent who has more cards in hand than you. Even if it was just an enchantment that said at the beginning of your upkeep, investigate once for each opponent who has more cards in hand than you, I would love this card. The fact that it comes on a 2/4 body for 3 mana with flying and vigilance, that's all upside. You know what I mean? It's a cheap angel, which we have been seeing more of in recent years. But this doesn't just go into angel decks. This goes into a lot of white decks. And I'm scared about what that might do to the price. But yeah, that's kind of it for the white cards. So we're going to move into blue. So it's no secret that blue is my least favorite color in Magic. I just prefer to be more proactive than reactive when I'm playing. But that said, I do have an appreciation for blue. But I'm not going to be looking at the cards like other people are going to be looking at them. And the first one I want to bring up is actually a new enchantment type. Case of the Ransacked Lab. It's an enchantment. Dash case. For 2 and a blue. And its static ability is instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Now there's 2 other abilities on here. There's 2 solve and solved. So 2 solve, you've cast 4 or more instant and sorcery spells this turn. and then it becomes solved. And the solved on this is whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, draw a card. Now, this one in particular does work in the one mono blue deck I have, which is the Watcher in the Water. I built it to be not the heavy counterspell deck, and this kind of just does what it wants to do. It's trying to cantrip a lot to, like, make all the tentacles on my opponent's turns, stuff like that. Now, to that same deck, the other blue card that's just a stupid little common is Deduce. One and a blue for an instant to draw a card and investigate. It's simple, it's cheap. It's what I like to be doing in blue when I'm playing blue. And yeah, that's just kind of how I look at blue when I don't want to be, you know, the 37 counterspells guy. Now, moving on to black. There were a couple of things in here that started to catch my eye. But for the most part, I really want to talk about the lead pipe. It's a clue equipment, so it's an artifact. The equipped creature gets +2/+0. Whenever the equipped creature dies, each opponent loses one life, and you can pay 2 and sack it to draw a card. It has equipped for 2. Is this the most powerful card? No. Does it make me chuckle every time I see it? Yes. And that's the important bit. The whole clue tie-in, I'll talk about that eventually. But I do like that it's an equipment, but it's also a clue, which I think is a fun little space they can work in. And then, yeah, that's it. It's just a stupid, funny card. Now, the other one I want to talk about is the Vein Ripper, which is 3BBB for a 6/5 Vampire Assassin. It has flying, ward, sack a creature, and whenever a creature dies, target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. In addition to being a vampire and assassin to fit in decks that want those, just the whenever a creature dies, target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life, it's going to go into a lot of aristocrat decks as like your top of your mana curve style cards. And I have a mono black deck that probably is going to want that, because it's just a mono black sacrifice deck. That's kind of it for black. And moving into red, the thing I've noticed about red here is the goblins care about artifacts, which is fine, but I don't know. I don't really do artifacts with goblins. You know what I mean? So here's what I mean. Like Innocent Bystander, it's 1 and a red for a 2/1 goblin citizen. Whenever it's dealt 3 or more damage, you investigate. So it cares about taking damage and making tokens. Another one is Crime Novelist, 2 and a red for a 1/3 goblin bard. Whenever you sacrifice an artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on Crime Novelist and add a red. Now, this one has a lot of implications for token treasure decks, because You can sacrifice the treasure. It puts a counter on the crime novelist, and you add a red. Now, what this card is missing that's going to make it go infinite with a ham sandwich is it doesn't say only do this once per turn. So, yeah, goblins are messing with artifacts. And yeah, that will move us into green. Technically, it's a green-blue card, but we're going to talk about it. The Pride of Hulklade is a 215 crocodile, elk, turtle. Yes, technically it's a legendary creature. I don't care. It's a crocodile, elk, turtle for 10 and a green. This spell costs X less to cast, where X is the total toughness of creatures you control. It has Defender. Then, for 2 blue-blue, until end of turn, target creature you control gets +1/+0 on gains. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, draw cards equal to its toughness and can attack as though it didn't have Defender. So, yeah, I'm just thinking of all the ways you can make this unblockable, and you just go, I pay 4, hit you for 3, and draw 15. Yeah, that's it. It's just a big, dumb creature. And I like that. Now, the other one I want to talk about in green is not a creature. It's actually an instant. Archdruid's Charm. It's a green, and a green for an instant. Choose one. Search your library for a creature or land card and reveal it. Put it onto the battlefield tapped if it's a land card. Otherwise, put it into your hand and then shuffle. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. It deals damage equal to its power to a target creature you don't control. Exile target artifact or enchantment. So this fits in quite nicely with the Archmage's Charm back from whenever that was from, which was like blue, 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 and it gave you 3 options, the one most people choosing being, you know, the counter a spell. I like seeing stuff like that get put into colors that maybe don't necessarily care as much about casting spells like that. And yeah, I just think that's neat. Now, looking at the multicolor stuff, I can't break it down one for each multicolor because then we would be here all day. And I don't want that, and you don't want that. I will, however, talk about the first reprint that I saw, Assassin's Trophy. A black and a green for an instant to destroy target permanent. An opponent controls. Its controller may search their library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield, and then shuffle. Good, solid reprint. Definitely, gonna pick up a few of those just so I have them on hand. The next one I want to talk about is War Leader's Call. It's 1, a red and a white for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+1, and then whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, War Leader's Call deals 1 damage to each opponent. So it's pulling double duty. It's an anthem and a way to do damage. And it's cheap enough that you can get it out early and then just start playing creatures and making tokens. I don't know. Maybe there's some version of like a Boros Goblins deck where The goal is to just start playing all the, like, when a creature enters, deal damage spells, and then, well, essentially anything like the original Krenko, where you're just going to punch out a ton of tokens. You know what I'm saying? Like, and let's round this out with the, I forget what they call this version of the card, the double cards, the fuse cards, but they're not fuse cards because they don't have fuse. Either way, the two we've seen so far are Push and Pull and Fuss and Bother. They span two guilds that share a color. So Push and Pull is Mardu, essentially, and Fuss and Bother is Jeskai. So Push is one and then a hybrid Orzhov to destroy target tapped creature. Pull is four and then two hybrid Rakdos to put up to two target creature cards from a single graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. They gain haste until end of turn. Sacrifice them at the beginning of the end step. Those are both sorceries. Now, Fuss and Bother. Fuss is two and a hybrid Boros. Put a +1/+1 counter on each attacking creature you control, which is an instant. And then Bother is four and two hybrid Azorius. Create 3/1/1 colorless Stopter artifact creature tokens with flying and then surveil 2. And that is a sorcery. It's cool to see them bring these back. They've done a few different versions over the years for, like, double cards. Quick honorable mention to the new fetchable tap lands, essentially. Things like the Meticulous Archive. It is a Plains Island. Enters the battlefield tapped, and then when it enters the battlefield, surveil one. There's one here for every color. They all do the same thing. They have their typings. They enter tapped, and then they surveil one. And yeah, the last honorable mention in this part is the full art lands look amazing. And this might be the one set where I actually just try and get like 100 of each of the full art lands to use for everything. That's about as much as I want to talk about with this little look at Murders at Karlov Manor. When I come back, I will do a very quick summary of things that I've been doing recently, and then we'll get out of here. So I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff, believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we are back. Now, I will keep this part relatively short. The long and short of it is, I haven't been playing Magic since the end of the year. I've been overworked, tired, and just haven't had the ability to go to my LGS, and I'm guessing the next time I actually get to sit down and play will be the pre-release. That said, even though I've been tired and depressed and not really into it, I have been working on updating some decks just to keep my mind moving. So I've, so far during this month, I've updated like 8 decks just with like, oh, I wanted to try this card, so I swapped things out. And I always kind of rotate like the decks that I keep in the quivers, so that things get rotated in and out. And then I have a couple of like other deck boxes that have like their own thing in it. The theme for this year is one quiver has all of the monocolor decks. One quiver has the decks that are going to be the other stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of just like a real quick update on what's been going on, because I've been so busy and so tired. There's a reason I ended up taking like a solid 2 weeks off with the holidays. I just was so busy. That said, I am back. I might miss a week here and there, depending on how the weather affects like my sinuses and stuff. But for the most part, we're back to our regularly scheduled programming. And this is already crossing the 20-minute mark, so we're just going to call it here. And I hope you have a good whatever time of the day you happen to listen to this, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.